It's really to do with your passion for the Lord that carries those things through, that we take our faith seriously, we take ourselves less seriously, but we really want to see God move in our corner of the world. We really want to see the Lord do something, and actually we're here to be faithful in those things. And so in April, you and I moved here, didn't we? That was scary. So I've lived in Lincoln all my life, right? And I am 26 years old.
That's not true.
Plus 10. I feel like I've hit that age where I've got to make it up a little bit. So 36, all my life I'd lived in Lincoln, and we just felt God stirring us and calling us. And so we took a step of faith and obedience. We were actually trying to get away from ministry. I'm not going to lie. We were trying to pursue a secular career, and we'd just serve on the side. And the Lord spoke to us and called us in to double down. And that was a scary moment for me. It was a scary moment for you. And then in June 2023, which wasn't all that long ago, we were commissioned as senior pastors. And then we did a small handover there with Steve and Lynn. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That looks really spiritual, doesn't it? We were prayed in. There's a really cute baby. Who's that? That's nice. So we were brought in. And as we were leaving, we were given a prophetic word. And so for those of you that don't know much about prophetic words, our general guidance is we want them to be encouraging. If you sense the Lord saying something to you and a thought that seemed other, that was not your own, and a sense of conviction, you know, share that. And we put caveats like this, maybe me, maybe the Lord, but I just want to share this with you. And we say, if it's encouraging, you can't go far wrong. Well, we got a rubbish prophetic word. Like... Someone shared a word with us, and they were like, you're going to be like a cracked egg. Like, that's not encouraging. That's not the kind of prophetic words you want to hear. It's supposed to be uplifting, like, yeah, God's going to do something. And still, no, you're going to be like a cracked egg, and you're going to feel like you have been poured out and spilled out amongst the cracks and the gaps. Oh, thank you. We're no longer in touch with that. Actually, it proved to be one of the most accurate prophetic words we'd received. And sometimes you can count on one hand those moments where God steers and directs you. And it's really felt like that from a vulnerable perspective. I don't know about you, but I felt like we arrive and you're already tentative because you don't know anyone. And there's a cracking of all of your norms. And then our aim was really just to spill out into relationship and quality time with people and to find out, you know, where are the areas that we can fit and just pour our time into. And so it's felt like we've done that. We've been like a cracked egg on a pavement, and any gaps and any things that maybe didn't feel connected, we've allowed ourselves to pour into and just spend time understanding what is it that God has been doing here in Sutton. And so that's part of our story. It's part of our splattering of calling. And so the first thing we prayed into really was understanding the heartbeat of our church. And we decided that mission was the priority in terms of understanding why we are a church, why we do what we do, why we're here. And God led us into that phrase that we're here to extend the table of God's kingdom to the least, the lost, the near and the far off. That actually this good thing that we have, this person of Jesus that we know, this salvation we've received, this grace and mercy that we live in, this love that we have, transforming love of God, it's not just for us. It's not to be a really well-kept secret. It's supposed to be extended to the people in our borough, extended to our neighbours, extended to our colleagues, that we set the table and we invite people in. And so that's really what God stood us. That's the why. That's why we exist. We're here because we believe Jesus has asked us to do that. He said, go into all of the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything, baptising them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we led with that conviction. And actually, we want to be a church that follows Jesus. We want to be a church that lifts up the name of Jesus. And the reason any of us could say anything like we build church and we look to strengthen things and we look to invest and pour our time into is because we're working for that purpose. And so that's very much a fixed idea, but the what is what God shows us, what we see God doing, what we see God growing, and the vision and the perspective is what will that look like? What shape will that take? And I shared last week, who was here for last week? We talked about growing, and it was very much about a personal, what does this mean for me to grow in the way that Jesus grew? But actually, those things are true for the church, that we ought to be intentional about what we see God doing. We ought to be intentional about what God is growing, not just in us and in our faith, but what it looks like as a community of believers serving the Lord together. And one of the verses I shared, which I want to revisit this morning, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5-9. And don't worry if you've not got a Bible, it's going to come up on screen, and I'm going to read it in my best Bible orator voice. which it won't go weird. Some people have like a thus thou of kind of approach when they read the Bible. I'm going to do it normal. It's a lot of pressure now. I'm going to get that wrong. What after all is Apollos? This was the guy that was leading the church in the first century in a variety of contexts. And what is Paul? This is the Apostle Paul that was also leading church. Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. And this passage comes, the Apostle Paul's talking to the church, and they're all getting in a tiz about one group or faction of people are saying, well, I follow Apollos, and one's saying, I follow Paul, and some are really super spiritual, and they go, well, I follow Jesus. And so, like, there's this kind of, like, competition mentality, and Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church, and he says, what are we other than servants of God? That actually we can't do anything. What we do is we come together and we create space for God to do something. That God is already doing what God wants to do. God is already moving. God is already working. That actually what we're doing is trying to bring our hearts and lives in line with his purpose and his will. God has never stopped working. We sang that at the start. Did we sing that at the start? Yeah. I just made that up. See, details. And so actually our question is, what is the Lord doing? What is the Lord up to? That actually you and I, we make nothing grow. What we do is we create space for God to grow something. We create space for God to grow something in our hearts and lives. And we create space for God to grow something in the church. My mum, who's definitely watching online, it's time to out her on...
It's dangerous.
On a big issue. She got a fish tank a little while ago. And... she didn't have the time to give it the TLC that it needed. And so she got some fish and she put it in the fish tank and all of the fish sadly ate each other. And it's all right because she's 160 odd miles away. So, you know, you'll never say, I'm really sorry. I'm going to get a phone call later. And until there was one fish left, this one fish. And then my mum thought the fish had died. And so she drained the tank. Turns out the fish had not died. And so she drained the tank and left it. I know, it must have been for a week or two. She's probably commenting online. No, it was this length of time. So she leaves it for a little while. And then she fills the tank up with fresh water. I think it was a saltwater fish. I don't know much about fish. But I'm sat in the living room with her one day. And she's filled the tank up. She's like, oh, yeah. Can you go and pick some fish up next week? I'm going to fill the tank with fish again. And I said, you've already got one, you know. She went, no. No, there's a fish. And there was one fish swimming around in the tank. Frankenfish. Right, he'd survived, or she'd survived, for weeks in a drained tank. And I'm presuming it's the fish that ate all the other fish. And so, surviving, I guess, on algae and muck, and she fills the tank back up, and this one fish is swimming around, and so she starts to take care of the fish. And this fish survives. I think it only died like last week. And this happened years ago. This one fish has survived and thrived all by itself. And so we've nicknamed it Frankenfish, the fish that could, the fish that overcame. And I'm not saying this is not how you should take care of fish. It's clearly not, okay? It was a learning curve. I don't think we should ever get fish again. And I don't know much about fish, but I'm pretty certain it's not the best conditions for it to thrive. Yet this fish was still able to grow. This fish was still able to survive and keep going. And often I think sometimes that is a little bit like what God does, that actually if we do nothing, God will still have a way of getting his purpose through. God will still have a way of the kingdom being revealed and people encountering Jesus. But how much better if we work on creating the best environment for things to thrive? Right, how much better if we clean the tank? How much better if we tend the garden and if we make space for what God is already growing and what God is already doing? And so that's been the challenge really for this year that the Lord's been speaking to me about, is that what is God doing? What am I paying attention to? What is he growing? And we're not always sure what will emerge. But actually, as we clear the weeds away, as we clean the fish tank, as we create the best possible environment, as we feed, as we nurture, to quote the Apostle Paul, as we water it, as we plant, it's God that makes things grow. And so none of us do anything other heaven give space. And so the question we're asking is, what needs more water? What is beginning to sprout? What is beginning to need that nurture in our lives, but also as a church? And for some, it's not the garden that you might have imagined. Sometimes there's things that spring up and you didn't even realize they were there. You didn't even realize what shape they would take. And God has a way of surprising us with those things. But the recognition is that our work, our labor, is not to make things happen. It's to create space for things to happen. And so either way, I'm resolved in my faith, and I hope you're in that same place too, where we cannot sit in maintenance mode. We cannot let things tend themselves, that actually we want to be working out, what is God up to, and how can I bring myself to working out, what do I need to clear away in my heart, in my life, as a church, what do we need to commit ourselves to, what do we need to focus on to be in line with what God is doing and what God is growing. I've been talking for a bit. Why don't you say something and I'll stand over here and not interrupt.
Amazing. Well, I thought we'd take some time to look at where we are. Where are we as a church? And as you can see from this slide, there's so much going on at Sutton Vineyard. We've probably missed some things off this list. There are so many things that I know individuals in the church are involved in that are maybe not Sutton Vineyard initiatives, but you're involved in and serving the kingdom in different ways. And we're just so incredibly grateful for every single person who helps us to have these many spaces in which we can see the kingdom of God extended to one another and to our communities. If you're a leader or a volunteer, if you pray for Sutton Vineyard, if you give financially, if you provide support in any other way, thank you so much. All of this stuff only happens because together we do it. There isn't any one person that makes all of this happen. It's all of us together as a family. So thank you. Thank you for everything that you do, the ways you sacrifice, the ways you give. We're so grateful for all of you.
I think you should give yourselves a round of applause as well, just for the commitment and diligence in serving.
Together, all of us, we're Sutton Vineyard, and we get to worship and serve God together. We're the family of God. Julian and I, in our own family, regularly take time to look at where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going, and what we sense God might be saying for the future of our family. We look at the things we're involved in. We look at our financial goals, what we need to do to achieve them, and the church is no different. This morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time unpacking those same things for us as a church. In Proverbs 21, verse 5, it says that the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. It's so important that we're diligent and aware of where we've been, where we are, and where we're going in all aspects of Sutton Vineyard. Julian spent a little bit of time earlier unpacking where we've been, and I've begun to unpack a little bit about where we are. But this morning, I'm going to take a little bit of time to look at where we are as a church financially and where God is leading us. Before I get started, I just want to say I'm so excited for Sutton Vineyard and for us as a family and where God is leading us. Already we're seeing God at work in so many ways. But the first slide we're going to show is our regular giving slide. There are four key measurements that will help you to understand the really great position we're in as a church. We don't have time to go into every detail here this morning, but we'll do our best to give you an overview. If you do have any questions, please do come and talk to us, or one of the trustees will highlight who they are later at any time. Julian said earlier, we want to be as transparent as we possibly can be. So please don't feel like you need to wait for a financial update to ask questions. You can ask them at any time. Whenever you have a question, feel free also to check our annual returns that are public on the Charity Commission website. You'll find all the detail there. If you have a good hour or two, you can go through all of that information.
It was just very clear in the room that who that appealed to. Just
you can see it, can you? This first graph is our regular giving over the past 5 years. And we are so thankful for all of you who regularly give financially to Sutton Vineyard. Regular giving, that's setting up a direct debit or standing order, helps us to plan and forecast our finances really well and allows us to outwork that mission of extending the table. A particular thank you to those who have started or increased your giving this year. We're so grateful for the sacrifices that so many people in this room make. The 24-25 figure is forecasted. It's not actually what's already come in. But Julian will unpack a bit about that forecast later on. It's no secret that COVID and the transition period that Julian spoke about costed us as a church and had an impact on our finances. But still, as Julian spoke about over last week and this morning, I think it's time to draw a line under some of those challenges and press into all that God has for us as a church family moving forward. We really can't live in that maintenance mode mentality. And we really sense that God's moving us into a new and exciting season. And for that, as we go through this morning, you'll see that we're taking a few steps of faith. The second slide that's going to come up is our total giving income, which includes the regular giving, but also includes any irregular gifts and gift aid income. Gift aid is great if you're able to. Please do, when you give, allow us to claim gift aid, because it's free money from the government that costs you nothing. As you can see, we forecasted a slight decrease this year, and that's partly due to the way that we're budgeting this year. We're quite hesitant to count irregular income as assumed, because by its nature, it's irregular. So over the past two graphs, you might have noticed that we're pretty much returning to a pre-COVID 2019-2020 level. And in many ways, we're now pressing on and returning to that sense of normal. The final slide on our income is going to show our total income, which includes all of that giving, but also includes grants we might receive and conference and income. Last year, we were really blessed with quite a significant grant towards our warm welcome and lighthouse and some associated costs, which allowed us to expand some of that work, but also cover some of the costs of existing work. We're so grateful for God's provision in those extra sources of income, which just help us financially in all that we do. Part of the reason for the forecast being a little bit lower is that we haven't budgeted for grants because they're often ad hoc and often are used to expand projects rather than cover existing costs. So we are looking at ways to expand that and to investigate that more and more. But that's just why that looks like quite a big drop. We're hoping it won't be that this time next year. And the next slide is the chart showing our total expenditure for the past 5 years and planned spending for this year. As you can see, despite the cost of things increasing, we're currently in a cost of living crisis. Prices are going up. We've managed to budget for less than previous years without cutting from our essential ministry costs and continuing to press forward into the vision God has given us for Sutton Vineyard. It's really important for us that we don't cut from the things that are seeing the kingdom of God extended. Our ministries and our ministry costs are so important to see what we do done really well and serve God in the best ways that we can. It's really important to us that we don't get in the way of any of the momentum that we're sensing as a church. As I said earlier, we have some great ministry provision as a church and are able to provide some great ministry for all ages, for our kids from 6 months all the way up to 18, our adults. There's so much going on in the life of our church. But it does all have a financial cost. But it is a cost that's essential for seeing each of us, our families, our communities thrive and reached with the love of Jesus and sharing the gospel. So on the next slide, you will see this budget's forecasted income against the planned expenditure. They are fairly close, as you can see, but this does show that we have budgeted in faith a deficit of about £35,000. It's also worth highlighting, as I say that we do have a healthy amount of money in the bank. So we're not that's not a massive risk to the church. We have that money ready through surplus income from previous years that allows us the runway to take this step of faith. We're really optimistic about God's provision. We're really optimistic about what God's calling us into in this next season. But I also do want to reassure you that this is a really calculated decision that Julian and I and the trustee team have talked through and discussed and approved together. So that brings me really nicely from where we are to where we are heading. As we continue to grow together, there are two aspects of Sutton Vineyard that are really, really central and integral to everything that we do and invest in together. One of those is more inward looking at what we do as a church community, and the other is more outward looking at what we do in our community. So over the next year from September, we'll be looking to roll out Vineyard Essentials and Vineyard Theology in Sutton Vineyard, helping us all to develop in our theology and leadership if we choose to engage in those. We think they're really good programs that help facilitate us delving into those things in more information, in more depth. And I think it's really important that we continue to grow in our faith wherever we are in that faith journey. And we also recognise there'll be things that will be really helpful specifically to our church or specific teams, which is why we've started to introduce 3 development days a year for really specific, intentional time to unpack a particular topic. The most recent one of these that I know many people in the room came along to was our Wellbeing Development Day with Justine, a trained counsellor and pastor, where we looked at caring for ourselves and others. And our next one is a prophetic training day that we're really excited about. So looking more outwardly, we come to our community ministries. Later in the year, we'll be spending some time dedicated to celebrating everything we do as a church, all of our ministries. But I'd love to highlight some of the impact of our community provision with you this morning from this past year. So we have our warm welcome. So far in 2024, we've averaged 19 guests per week, with a total of 427 visits since September 23. Which I think is really quite incredible. And then we have our Lighthouse project, our Grow Baby, the Baby Bank. So far in 2024, we've averaged 20 guests a week. And the thing that really, I sat down to look at the stats, to look at what we've given out just this year since January. And so far, there's been 21 single buggies, 3 double buggies, 5 travel systems, 6 car seats. So you can see all of the items. So many essential items to families that wouldn't have access to them without the work that so many of you in this room are involved in. And then the other aspect of our community ministries we have is Wendy House. Got a weep there. And since September 2023, there's been an average of 18 families providing a playful and fun environment for around 25 to 30 kids each week. I think it's incredible the impact that all of you that are involved in those things, whether you're involved in the ground or you give financially to Sutton Vineyard, you're involved. And these families that have been reached with the love of Jesus are due to all of you guys. So thank you. The next area of where we're heading into is Grace Advocacy. Recently, we had a vision evening about Grace Advocacy, and over 30 of you came. We're starting in the initial stages of formalising a team, a wonderful team of people to support those in need in our community in a more intentional way. I'm so excited about this, and we can already see the impact it can have on so many families that our teams are connected to. And then this brings me to the most exciting part of where we believe God is leading us towards, which is the recruitment of a community pastor at Sutton Vineyard.
One person's really excited. Thank you, Jesus.
We just really feel that having this role is really essential to bring together all of those community ministries and all of those different teams that are working together. Whether that's growing our existing projects, our existing spaces, and developing new initiatives such as properly launching Grace Advocacy, which is going to take up a significant amount of time to organise, and branch into more connections and relationships with other organisations. This is really essential to us moving forward. In order to sort of minimise the sort of risk of that stepping forward as an organisation, we'll be looking at an initial 1-year role to manage that financial step. Of course, our aim is to build sustainability into this and to see this as a long-term role. But initially, it will be a 1-year role. And the cost associated towards that are between sort of £30,000 and £35,000. Julian.
Yeah, I joke with the Wahoo, but the truth is that the Lord has been speaking to us a lot about this, that none of those things will necessarily come as a shock to you, but actually we want to sense what is the Lord doing. And there's every year of the life of our church, I did our research when we applied for the job, and we look through all of our accounts and we look through all of the videos on YouTube. If you've got a spare couple of weeks, you can do that on double time, get it through it fairly swiftly. But to build that picture of the church that actually we've always stretched beyond our means to respond to what we believe God is doing. We've always stretched beyond our current circumstance. And as we've prayed this through, we realize actually we have a sight of those figures, and some of that can look a bit scary if it was your personal finances. But recognizing that as a church, we fluctuate between £500,000 and £600,000 a year in expenses and income. And actually that's incredible for a community of our size. That's an incredible representation of how that financial resource is used to extend the kingdom of God. And the truth is we're quite blessed, more than most churches, to have fuel in the bank in terms of finance, that actually we have healthy reserves and we have a healthy amount that we can use for mission to grow and invest in. And actually, we don't need to be cautious in those things. But as we've prayed it through, we're able to be diligent and fastidious in our finances, vocab word of the day there, that actually we can take this and we say, actually, the Lord is doing here. We can invest it in where we think God is growing things, and we can create some space, we can move some debris, and we can water it and nurture it and see what the Lord does with that. And we have the ability to step out in faith, and actually, it's not beyond our means. And so we're following the Lord's leading in those things. We believe that God is growing this area. And just as we once invited a youth pastor to grow and focus on nurturing our young people, just as we once did it with our children's pastor, just as we once did it with our assistant pastor, that should be sent to the Lord. What are you doing now? If you've ever seen the vineyard guy, I'm going to call it the vineyard guy. You've seen that picture before? For those of you that have been around in vineyard churches, it's the vineyard person. Thank you. Inclusive language. Thank you. It's kind of like the virtuoso from Leonardo da Vinci, but kind of simplified. And one of the legs of that, representing the church, one of them is worship, which I think a lot of churches do well. We get that right. But the other one's compassion. And the danger is that we don't want to have one really muscly leg. And but actually, we want to build and develop and grow and invest in and nurture all aspects of what is the full picture of the church. And so that's created a visual for some people. And so we sense the Lord leading in these things, and we're saying, actually, God, we're going to take a step of faith. And just as we take a step of faith, we believe the Lord responds and leads us. And there's plenty of levers that we can pull further down the line if we find ourselves adjusting. But right now, we have the ability to not sit back and just, okay, once it's all in place, once everything's secure, let's push. But actually, if the Lord's already moving, the Lord's already growing, we have the ability to step out in faith. And so we want to be obedient to that. I'm just going to very quickly show you currently how we utilize our finances, because it's important that you see that as you give to the church, A, it's not a subscription service. This is not Netflix. B, it's not a tax. C, we want to understand that this is an act of worship. What we do is we bring our resource in and we say, God, how can we best use this to serve your kingdom? And so this is roughly the proportions that we are pretty good at keeping. But if all of our giving was represented in £1, 51p goes to staff costs, and we try to aim to keep that sort of 50 to 51p. Ministries is 15 pence, and so that will include a lot of the stuff that we run between term time in terms of reaching out and reaching people and building up the church. 4p administration cost, always the most attractive area of church. We all love a bit of admin. 20p is on buildings, so that's just to exist and just to have space in the borough and to meet as a church. There's obviously a huge cost of those things. And then gifts. If you just move to the next slide for me. Is that the last slide? What we give to. Talk amongst yourselves behind the scenes. There isn't one. I didn't give you that. That's my fault. That's my awkward moment. What I wanted to highlight with the 10p, which clearly I didn't communicate, was that we give away as a church. We're generous as a church, just as we believe God has called us to be generous on an individual level. We believe that's true as a church. And so we give 10%, or we try to give actually more than 10% in acts of generosity towards organizations, just to help bless them. And so a few that we give into, which I'm hoping I did give you that, is Grace Advocacy is one ministry we're starting. So the national focus of Grace Advocacy we give into. Home Start Sutton, we're giving a portion of money to them out of our income. International Missions, ASLAN, and a little bit that's gone to the Message Trust. And then there's probably a few more in there that I've missed. But the point is that as we gather the resource in, we use that to bless others. It's not just about us as a church building ourselves up. And I think we know that. And it's not just about us reaching out and ministering, but we want to support other organizations, other ministries, other missions as an act of obedience in our generosity. And so, you know, here's the challenge. You'll notice that we don't pass an offering bucket around. We don't pass an offering plate. And what Libby and I do, we talked about our financial well-being a few weeks ago. And if you missed it, I encourage you to revisit it. But we generally lead with the principle of whatever the Lord has given to us, we give some, we save some, we spend some, hip, hip, and we invest some. That actually, those are the ways that we've sort of prioritized our finances. But the first is always, what do we give? And so we lead with that verse where the apostle tells us to decide in your heart what to give. And so we say prayerfully consider these things. And so what we want to do is just show you where where we're at, where we need to be in terms of our finances and budgeting going into this year. I think this is the last slide, which I won't mess up, John. Thanks. So currently we're budgeting for £28,000 to £29,000 on our monthly giving. Required for our next budget going forward is £30,000. But I desired to look at growing some of these areas of the church is to push it as much as we can. Again, beyond our reach, as we've always done in terms of what we sense God is growing and doing, to £33,000. And so really the ask this morning is that you'll go away and pray about some of these things. First of all, for those of you that have increased your giving consistently time and time again, we want to thank you for that. Well done for praying those things through and following the Lord. For those of you that aren't able to give, actually, there's nothing to say other than actually we're continually praying those things through. And it's not about how much someone ever gives. Please don't ever feel that sense of guilt in a church that if you're not in a place to contribute in one way, it doesn't mean the Lord's not using you in another way. It's important we get that aspect right. And secondly, if you're new to our church and you've joined and you're getting stuck into the life of our church and you're not yet giving, maybe take this way as a moment of prayer. Actually, what is the Lord stirring me to give and contribute financially? That actually, as we bring our resources in as an act of worship, we want to bring it to the Lord and say, God, how can we use this to reach the least, the lost, the near and the far off? And so that's really the two things that we want to ask as we've laid out what we sense the Lord is saying and what he's doing, where he's brought us, where we are and where we're headed, is will you go away and pray about these things? Pray not just about the cost of stretching into hiring a community pastor and stepping into some new ministries, but also, Lord, what is it that you've put in my hand that can be a contribution? And that's not just your finances, it's your time, your effort. Can I just commend loads of people in this room who give sacrificially of their time? That is no small thing. That is an incredible thing we do to serve the Lord diligently and faithfully. And so what we always want to do is just be transparent about what we've got and where we're headed. We want to bring it before you as a church that this isn't our thing, this is our thing. And so if we sense the Lord is saying this, this is what it currently looks like. And so we just want to say, God, what is it you're doing? What is it that I can invest? What is it that I can bring to the table? What is it I can do to help lay the table to reach the least, the lost, the near and the far off? And again, all we just do is say, pray about that from a place of diligence. Lord, is it something for me to go away and consider in this next season? Anything else you'd add to that?
I think you've covered most of it. What I would love to do is just sort of say as well, if you do have any questions about any of this, please do come and speak to us. There's also our trustees. I'd love if we could just ask our trustees just to stand for a moment to indicate who you are so people know who you are. And there's also Tom, who isn't here this morning. But these are our wonderful trustees. And can we give them a massive round of applause? You can... Feel free to sit back down. But if you've got any questions, feel free to ask these guys. These guys have journeyed through the church, all of them, I think, longer than we have. So they, some of the history and some of the sort of past decision making and the recruitment of us and things like that, they've had a massive part in, and they've been really involved in. So I want to honour you and thank you for all that you guys do. But feel free to come and ask questions to us or to them. Also, it may be that you're feeling stirred to give a one-off gift that actually you can't afford to give more on a regular basis, but perhaps you want to contribute specifically towards this role. And we are going to have a particular community pastor fund that you can give into if that's what God's stirring you to. It's also worth noting that of that gift, as with all of the gifts we receive, we will be giving 10% of that fund away. So that will go locally, both to Home Start, 10% overall will be gifted to a combination of different organisations who are on the screen.
Yeah, and so all of that's to say, again, you don't have to wait for a Vision Sunday to talk to us about these things. We're continually discerning and praying. We spent some time in discovery when we first arrived. What is it the Lord is saying and doing? So don't feel like you've got to wait for a special Sunday. We want that continual conversation. We want it to be flowing. We want it to be open and honest. And sometimes you can just save up all your curiosity, but if you see any one of our trustees, you can ask them all the hard questions. Come and ask me the easy questions. No, you can ask any one of us that you see up the front, actually, what is it the Lord is doing in the life of our church? And so there's no hard sell in this. We just want to present to you what the Lord has been doing, what we've been seeing, where we're leaning, and all we're saying is go away and pray about it. Go away and be intentional and considerate as we think about these things, as we think about stretching into what the Lord is doing and creating space for what God is growing. But we thought it'd be really good as well to invite our trustees, and so the chair, the co-chair of our trustees is going to come and pray for us before we head into worship. Really just to submit this before the Lord, put it into your hands as a church and say, let's go and bring this in prayer. And also this week, Wednesday and Thursday, we're meeting together. We're gathering as a church to pray as we do at the start of every term to bring this together on a more personal and intimate level with one another. And also Friday, our family prayer as well. We're going to be taking time to lean into prayer during our family prayer trail. So don't miss those. Do check out the What's On page. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. over to you guys.
Thanks, Julian. The picture's up this morning. Lord, we just pray so much thanks over the last incredible year that we've had as we've moved from the founders of St. Vineyard and the amazing work that they did to the blessings that we had, their interregnum pastors, and in all of that, we just have absolute faith, and we can see that you had a place for Sutton Vineyard. And through hook and by crook, you managed to get us there. And we just give you absolute thanks for that. And this morning, as we've just been listening, I've really been reminded through the parable of the sower that Jesus teaches us that there will be seed that will be scattered that won't lead to anything. And that can be really disheartening, but actually the point is we're not called to worry about that. We are called to sow. And as we step out this morning and we hear this vision from Julian and Libby, we are looking to take steps as a church to sow more and to sow better. And that is a vision that just inspires me. I pray that it inspires everyone, and just that individually you will touch our hearts on where we are with that. And where we can be in that more, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you that you are already in our community and in our church. You're already working, you're already moving. And Lord, as Julian said, we just want to bring our hearts and our lives in line with what you're already doing. And lots of us have been praying about this, and we feel that this is moving in line with what you're already doing, Lord. So I just pray that you've already gone ahead of us in this. As people leave here this morning, Lord, that they will just continue to pray, to think about this, and that it won't be something that we walk out of the door and we forget about. So Lord, I just pray that as people leave here this morning, they'll continue to listen to you, to seek your word, and just to think about their lives, where they can clear space so that we can see you grow more, Lord. And I just, you know, noted down here, being able to stretch beyond our current circumstances to move into what God is doing. So Lord, I just pray that that's true for us as a church together, but also for each of us individually, that we are not limiting ourselves by what we can see in our circumstances, that you're so much bigger than that. So Lord, I just pray that we can stretch ourselves out of our comfort zone and move more into that. Amen.